Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
Build your tribe with this excellent tip from expert Lewis House on why it's so important to have live events online.
Don't worry about coming on live because we're going to have a replay every time. Then people aren't going to be as excited to come on live. So you want to create some type of reason why they're going to come on live. Either you're going to give away some bonuses at the end for people on live. You're going to give away a special download checklist, a free audio, something to reward people for coming on live, because that's where the magic is created.
I am so excited for you to meet my new friend, Lewis House. I have to tell you, I've recorded this little blip where I kind of explain who somebody is and how I know them before I start my podcast at least 22 times, because there's so much I want to tell you about them that I feel like I'm going to take up 30 minutes just telling you how much I really like this guy. He's such a cool guy. He's so nice. He's so sweet. I believe I've got pretty strong radar for good people, and he sends off all four alarms. He's just such a nice guy. Nice guy. But rather than me just telling you he's a nice guy, listen to this interview and check him out online. Go to his website. It's Lewis, L-E-W-I-S, House, H-O-W-E-S.com. Learn a little bit more about him yourself. Here's what I've learned about Lewis. He is a former professional football player, a two-time sport All-American, world record-holding athlete. He's currently on the men's national team for team handball. He's been honored by just about anyone you can think of in terms of being influential in social media marketing. In fact, he was also awarded one of the 50 most influential people in blogging. He's considered one of the leading experts in webinars. He's got an amazing podcast. It's called The School of Greatness. I think he's like 30-something, maybe just barely 30. He's like 6'4", tall, big, strapping guy, but you can just look into his eyes and see that he's a teddy bear. He's a sweetheart. He's so nice, and he spent a lot of time with myself and my husband, came down and worked out with me and my friends here in my garage, and just, you know, before we even started doing any work together, I always like to feel like I need to know someone before I introduce them to my tribe, to the people who trust me, and just an awesome guy. So before I take up 30 more minutes, just know that this is a very honest guy who has interviewed everybody you can think of, who has all kinds of accolades, and everything that I just mentioned about him, I did not learn from him. He never brags. He's one of the most humble people I've ever spent time with. Everything I've learned from him, I've either read it online or heard it from somebody else. And I just think that's a sign of a really cool person. Because, you know, the people have to like lead with their resume and brag all over and numbers, 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 this person, that person. It's like, you know, really? Is that what you need to do to feel important? I don't know. But Lewis is not like that. He's a real deal. Here we go.
Welcome to Build Your Tribe with host Shalene Johnson. Shalene promises this show will help you build your brand, serve your community, grow your email list, and learn from the experts or your money back.
Everybody, I am so excited to have you meet and hear from my friend, Lewis House. Lewis, are you there?
I am here. What's up?
Not much. Happy to have this opportunity, because not only are you going to help our listeners learn more about how it is you've been able to build this incredible tribe and create this lifestyle that's just kind of amazing. But we're going to talk about some things today that I know nothing about. It's going to be really easy for me to know what questions to ask, because I have a million of them.
Awesome.
So if I can start, though, you know, I don't know exactly, because we've never talked about it. How is it you made that transition from being a professional athlete to somebody who helps people build businesses online?
Well, I didn't do it gracefully, if that's the answer you're looking for. And it wasn't really a seamless transition. It was a couple of years of really, I would say, like minor depression. I was just kind of like down in the dumps. I wouldn't say I was depressed, like wanting to kill myself, but I was like, this sucks. Life is crappy. I have no clue what I want to do next. I was 24, 23 or 24 at the time. I hadn't graduated college yet. I left early to try to go make the NFL. Didn't make the NFL. Then I played arena football, got injured. And my dad had gotten into a near fatal accident the year prior and had a really bad brain injury from this car accident he was in. So this entire time, he was in a coma for a few months. We didn't know if he was going to make it. Then when he woke up, we had to, you know, we got to teach him how to write and talk and walk and, you know, go to the bathroom again. And so it was like I was going through this complete transition in my life where my dad basically wasn't really there for me as a father anymore. Mm-hmm. And I didn't have a college degree, so I wasn't sure how I was going to make money. And I didn't really understand how to make money on my own without getting a job. And then I lost my dream of playing football. So I was just kind of like, what do I do? And I was injured, so I couldn't work out, which is what I was used to doing all day long. So I had this big cast on my arm for 6 months, and they took a bone out of my hip and put it in my wrist to strengthen my wrist bone. And I remember just being like, okay, what do I do with my life now? And I have no clue.
You said you lost your dream to play football. Did it also feel like you had lost a part of your identity?
I mean, it was pretty much my entire life, and I know you can probably relate to this with your husband. Mm-hmm. And you know, his experience as a child growing up. All I remember doing is watching sports on the couch with my dad and being like, "That's what I want to do. That's what I want to do." And then him supporting that for 15 or 18 years, whatever it was, until I was in college. And then when it was over, it was like, oh, I didn't study in school. I have no other real skills that I think are valuable to make money. So what do I do next? And, you know, gratefully and luckily, I have an amazing family. My three older siblings are awesome and were very supportive. My sister let me sleep on her couch for a year and a half while I was recovering from this surgery. So I couldn't really even get a job if I wanted to, like a physical labor job, because I had one arm. And it's like I didn't have a college degree. This was 2008 when the economy was pretty bad and people with degrees weren't getting jobs. So I was like, I don't know what I'm going to do. So what I did do is I had a lot of free time and I was on the couch with my laptop a lot. Mm-hmm. So I was just kind of like connecting with friends on Facebook originally. And a mentor of mine, I was reaching out to people that I thought could like give me some advice. And I reached out to three key mentors early on who I didn't know were going to be mentors, but I just was inspired by what they were up to in life. Mm-hmm. One of these mentors said, why don't you check out LinkedIn? And I've heard that some people are getting jobs through there and maybe you can find some opportunities. So I took it and ran with it. And I spent about 6 hours a day on LinkedIn for about a year, just trying to figure it out. And as I was figuring out, I realized that people were really confused with it, but they understood that they needed to use it to grow their business. And they all started to look at me as someone to help them figure it out. And through this, I started kind of coaching people one-on-one, doing profile makeovers. I started to do events all around the country, bringing people together to support them and facilitating business relationships and connections. I wrote a book about it eventually because I was like, wow. Okay, what can I do with this information so I don't have to teach it one by one?
I'm gonna step you backwards a little bit. So so you go on LinkedIn because you're like, I need to link up with some people and get myself a job.
Yes.
And you start like understanding it and figuring it out on a little deeper level. And then suddenly you realize, gosh, I'm kind of becoming an expert. Can you tell me, did you, that very first thing you put out there, what did you have any of that self-doubt speak that people feel the first time they call themselves an expert?
Yeah, I mean, you know, I was, again, like I said, I was kind of just like hanging out on Facebook because I was one of the first probably, I don't know, a million people on Facebook from when it was just for college students. I don't know if you remember this, but
yeah,
it was, I remember my college getting access to Facebook. They didn't even allow all the colleges yet. They were like opening up 10 colleges at a time. And we were like waiting for our college to open up and have access with our email address, our university email address. And so I was just kind of like hanging out there. And then as social media was blowing up around this time, 2007, 2008, 2009, people were like talking about how to use it for business and interact and gain customers. I was following what people were saying. I started reading blogs. I started to kind of like see what the influencers were doing. And when I started to put information out there about LinkedIn, I was terrified because I didn't have a college degree still. And I was like, who's going to believe me? I'm only 24. I don't have a college degree. I've never had a business. I've never actually had a job that was more than 3 months. I was a truck driver before I was playing arena football in their off season. Mm-hmm. I was like a bouncer on like the weekends in college. And that was like it. So I was like, who is going to listen to me? And I'm a jock, you know, why would they? It was just like, but I really had nothing to lose at the same time. I was on my couch and I was like, there's nowhere else I can go but up. I was terrified. And I was kind of like, I hope people don't figure out that, you know, who I am or something. It was like scary.
Oh my gosh. That's great. I love the honesty there because so many people, I think, wait because they feel like, well, there's somebody out there who knows more and there's somebody who's selling this academy and there's someone who's got more followers, yeah, more this, more that. So I don't dare call myself an expert. And I always like to remind people, you don't have to be the end all be all expert. You just have to be an expert at the way you do it.
Exactly. And you only need 1,000 people really to give you money and you're making a good living. You know, you don't need 100,000 customers or sales. You get 1,000 people to give you $1,000. Like, that's a pretty good living right there.
True. Part of your story, you know, and what's so cool about it is your background as an athlete. And I think that's what makes everybody remember certain people, is not like, oh, suddenly there's this marketer on the scene, but there's somebody who's taken their past and incorporated into a story that it just kind of all makes sense. Was there ever a time when you, I don't want to say denied, but you maybe didn't embrace the fact that you were a former athlete or that you thought it might diminish your credibility?
You know, that's what gave me the credibility early on when I was reaching out to people to connect with them on LinkedIn. I always led with, you know, I'm a former professional athlete, because I felt like it gave me credibility, especially when I was connecting with people in the sports industry. It's what got me in the door to connect with some of the most influential CEOs of sports companies that I was reaching out to early on. And without that, I don't think I would have been able to relate to them and connect with them. So it's part of who I am and why deny who I am. I feel like everyone's got a story, you know, kind of like what Bo Eason says, you really got to share your story and own it. You know, we were talking about Bo before this. Mm-hmm. So for me, yeah, it's one of my most powerful, you know, stories to share is my experience.
And when did you start building, like, you know, a community of people that you were helping, as I like to call a tribe, or people who become your lifers?
When I was using LinkedIn, I started growing these LinkedIn groups. I was like, I saw what LinkedIn was doing. And again, I was on there about 6 hours a day. So I felt like I was actually learning it.
Wow.
I had all the time in the world. I had nothing to do. I had no job, nothing. So, and I was recovering, so I couldn't really work out. I was just sitting on a couch.
Yeah.
So I was like, I got to the point, I got pretty cocky. I was like, I bet I know more about LinkedIn than the people that work at LinkedIn. And I bet I can teach people how to leverage it, because I was just like on it all day. And I was thinking about it differently than probably people that are working. I was like, how can you leverage every aspect of LinkedIn? And so there were these groups that you could create on LinkedIn, kind of like Facebook groups. And I started creating them like left and right. And I was like, what do people really want to become a part of? Like, they don't want to join the, you know, company name group or the Lewis Howes group, but what is it that they want to be a part of? And I started creating these, I created this group called the Sports Industry Network. So it was like a group around an industry, and it's the largest sports group on LinkedIn. I think it's got 200,000 members today. And I don't think there's a bigger network online of sports industry executives. So I started creating groups like that and these other like niche related business networking groups, started to like build these massive followings on these groups. And it was at that point where I was like, oh, I can message all the members in the group. And what they really want is introductions and connections with other people in the city to grow their business. So that's when I started putting these events on, found it as a way to make money and also continue to build my expertise.
Wow. Do you have people who have just whatever it is you're learning next, be it Facebook or webinars, just you've got that type of relationship with them that they don't even question? It's like, well, Lewis, if that's what you're saying we need to do next, then that's what we're doing.
Yeah, definitely. And, you know, for like a year and a half, 2 years, I was just talking about LinkedIn. And then other people, once I started creating products and courses and services, boot camps, things like that around LinkedIn, people were like, well, can you teach me Facebook and can you teach me Twitter and this, you know, all these other things that they needed to learn to grow their business. Mm-hmm. A lot of it I knew because it's what I was using at the same time, but I was like, I'm not the expert at these. I'm like, I'm really good at LinkedIn, but I'm like, I'm pretty good at the other stuff, but it's not my forte. So I said, yeah, I can do it without saying it was going to be me or how. And what I ended up doing was building relationships with the experts and publishing them, creating products around their content, and then selling it to my audience who wanted the information.
So in other words, you're the trust agent. You're saying, I'm going to vet the experts. I'm going to make sure that who I'm bringing to my friends, my community, these people who I've served, that they meet my minimum requirements, that they are the expert and that they are teaching me something before, yes, I introduce them to my audience.
Exactly.
So now tell me how it is you have built this empire online and have connected with so many different people. What do you think has been, other than LinkedIn, what has been the next greatest form of exposure or community building for you? Which platform?
Well, I mean, the most powerful and explosive is definitely webinars. In terms of, I guess if we're rating them and how we're in the context of how we're rating them, in terms of generating the most sales over any other platform, I can outsell anyone and show them how to outsell using webinars over any other platform that they think they can sell a lot on. So if you think like Instagram gets a lot of sales for you, or Facebook or blog posts or YouTube or whatever it may be, I can show you how to leverage webinars. If you think face-to-face is going to be more powerful, I can show you how webinars is actually going to leverage your time, your energy, connect with your audience in a deeper way than any other way and generate more sales in any other type of marketing tool available today.
You said the word deeper connection and better use of your time and energy. Address those three things: connection and time and energy.
So obviously, in order to generate a sale, in my mind, or let's just say, you know, most people's minds, I would say in psychology, it's like, it's really when you can build trust with someone and connect with them or their brand or their product or whatever it is, but you got to be able to connect with them in order to get them to buy. And it's hard to just send people to a website link and then expect for them to buy. You know, the conversion of a sales page from just sending someone to a page is probably like 3 to 5% if you're pretty good, if you're really good. So with the conversion on face-to-face, one-on-one, maybe it's, you know, 50% of the time if it's a warm lead, maybe you can convert one of every two people to buy something, depending on the price point, you know, things like that, and if they're really a warm lead. But with webinars, I've seen up to 40% in conversions.
What?
Now that's high, but kind of like the average would be around 20 to 30% based on a specific sweet spot in your price. Okay. Now, if your price is $20,000, and obviously you're only going to get, you know, it's going to be really hard to convert, but that'd be hard to convert one-on-one as well. So it depends on the price point. It depends on the audience. It depends on how much of a demand they want for the solution that you're offering. But when you fit the right sweet spot for the right audience, you can convert 25, 30% on pretty much every webinar if you follow the formula that works.
Okay, I'm going to try to slow myself down because I have a bajillion questions. I've never done a webinar before. I mean, I've done webinars where I've been a guest of someone else's webinar. It's just purely educational. Primarily, my main best way for me to build, number one, leads is through doing a launch, you know, for a video launch or, of course, a freemium. And the only way I've ever sold a ticket to one of my academies is either live from the stage or during a short amount of time during which the card is open after a 4-video launch series. I've never used a webinar. So the first question I have to ask you is...
I literally think I'm going to change your life right now then.
Really? Really?
I'm not just saying this to like make it sound cool and like, you know,
really?
Yeah, I literally, and we've talked about this before, but I literally think that if you've never done it on the webinar, like you're going to be so grateful once you start learning how to use this.
Like I'm going to start shopping right now for a Christmas present for you.
You're going to be so happy. You're going to be like,
okay,
you're gonna be teaching this to everyone. You're
going
to be like,
come on. I'm excited. You know, this stuff geeks me out.
You're like, Lewis is program. I'm creating this. Like, this is incredible. Yeah.
I invented this. okay. So let me go back. So let's just say I have no list. I've got a little tiny following on Facebook. I've few people on Twitter and other social media platforms, but I don't have a list. Lewis, how do I get people to actually watch my webinar?
Well, there's a couple of options. One, you can build a relationship with someone to promote your webinar for you. So really create a win-win for the person. You know, this is going to take some time and some connection and some relationship building and some adding some value to someone who's going to promote you. So one thing that I did early on as an example of building my list without having one was I was reaching out to, and this is something people could do today right now, is I was reaching out to LinkedIn group owners. So you could reach out to Facebook page owners, group owners on Facebook, LinkedIn group owners, people that have an audience already that's a targeted audience for a specific audience. So say like you're a fitness professional and you want to sell a product on how to lose weight. And there might be a group called Executive Business Owners, right? There could be, you got to figure out who your target audience would be. So maybe like business owners are out of shape because they're working all day long, or maybe you're looking at some type of audience that you could tap into. And you want to reach out to that group owner and say, hey, listen, I don't know if you're making money off your group, but I've got an awesome opportunity to add a lot of value to your audience and give them a free presentation. And at the end, I have this program that's done extremely well. What I'll do is I'll sell at the end and you'll get 50% commission. I'm just throwing this out there as an example.
That's pretty much the wheels turning.
Yeah. So start the conversation, reach out to someone and ask them if they'd be interested in doing a free webinar to their audience that you would host. From there, that's one way to get some leads. Now, to give an example, I did this with one group owner. I did this with lots of group owners, but one group owner I did this with, this is a really interesting story. I did it with him. We generated over 15,000 leads in a couple of days for this webinar. Within the first hour, 8,000 leads came in the first hour for a webinar registration page that I was hosting. 15,000 total came in over like a few days, and I didn't have to pay a dime for any of those leads. And they were all targeted. They were all social media marketers, and I was promoting a LinkedIn training. So it was the perfect audience for what I wanted to offer. And I was teaching social media marketers how to leverage LinkedIn to build their business and how to promote their business on LinkedIn. So that was my example. And we generated over like, I think it was like $30,000 or $40,000 in sales at the end of the training. I think we had a $300 or $400 program at the time. And the guy got, you know, a check for $15,000 or $20,000, whatever 50% was of that. And this is a guy that had a full-time job up in San Francisco that was working, you know, 60 hours a week, didn't like his job, but he'd built this group. And he hadn't made any money from it yet. I sent him a check that week for half of the half. And so we got a check for like 10 grand. And I said, let's do this again next week. So we did it again for like a couple months, every couple of weeks. And he generated like close to $100,000 in a few months just from promoting a free webinar to his audience on a topic that would support his audience in achieving their goals. Absolutely for free. And I blew them away with the free content. And then for those who wanted more, could buy the advanced training. And cool story is that guy actually quit his job 6 months later. All he does is send one message a week to his group. And he's bringing in over $75,000 a month for one LinkedIn group. Again, for me, it was cool to be able to generate all these leads. I think he gave us about 30 something thousand leads over a few months. And I had, you know, a small list at the time, so I built my list where I could sell more to that audience.
Wow. Yeah, I had Mari Smith on a previous episode, and I asked her what the number one lead generating thing she's ever done in social media. And she's a Facebook expert, and you know, she really knows Facebook ads and Twitter, and she says, bar none, the very best thing she's ever done and continues to do to this day is to do live webinars.
Yes. There's nothing better. Like, I mean, I don't know. There's something about it.
I mean, so many of the people who are listening now are building their tribe. They don't have anything to offer or sell yet, but they know they will someday. But they want to build their tribe. You can provide great content that's extremely valuable, and you're there live, I'm assuming that's the case, and people can interact with you. Yes?
Yes.
And use webinars to actually build your list.
Exactly. It's the best list builder. I mean, there's lots of ways to build your list. You can pay to build your list with your Facebook ads or Google ads or media buys. You can create content like YouTube or build it through Facebook content. You can write blog posts. You can do guest articles, videos. There's lots of things you can do to create information for people to find. You can do SEO, but really when you can just have someone send an email out and generate, you know, 5,000 new leads in a day, why spend all this energy and time only on creating content to build a, you know, maybe a 5,000 to 10,000 person list in a year when you can do that in a day?
Okay. So my next question is, I believe that people connect with me best when I'm on video because they can look into my eyes and they can see if I'm telling the truth. And I don't know, I just have, I've always loved video. Obviously it's what brought me to this space, having done hundreds of exercise videos, but I just really like video to connect with people.
Yeah.
But the webinars I've watched, most of them, not all, but most all the webinars I can think of where I've actually bought something recently, it was not a live, although there's a couple I've seen where it's a live feed of the person, but in most cases it's like slides and then them talking live. So what's the norm? What's the best formula?
Yeah, you know, when I started doing webinars 5 years ago, I guess it was now, the technology wasn't really up to speed to have live video where it wasn't like blurry and fuzzy. So a lot of people were just doing slides and kind of making it seem like it was a movie. Like the more slides you had with, you know, captivating images and it was moving fast, not just like stuck on a bunch of bullets for 10 minutes of a slide, that's what really kept people interested, engaged. And, you know, some of them had video capability, but it was like small and it didn't look good. It was blurry or it was like a delay. So I never used it until recently. You know, there's some technology that's really caught up with these softwares where you can use video and it looks crystal clear HD. So it's, you know, win-win right now with the video, the slides, everything. It's got all the components of a live event without you having to go and get dressed up.
Well, I'm really curious about this because I'm just going to put it out there. You don't even know, Lewis, how much of a pain in the butt it is to be a girl.
I can only imagine.
No, like, it's a pain in the butt. Like, you got to blow dry the hair. You got to put it on the makeup. And
it's a full production just to speak for 10 minutes.
It's a whole thing.
It's a full 3-day pre-production.
Okay, now come on, you're pushing it. But yeah, it's a pain in the butt. And so, you know, and especially as a woman, women like to look at women and we like to check each other out and go, what kind of earrings is she wearing? And is her hair just right? And did she wear that shirt before? So like, I think there's
why
more
is that,
that? I don't know. I do the same thing. And it's not.
Is it to judge or is it more like?
I don't know. No, I think it's to get ideas. I don't know.
Oh,
I don't.
Gosh.
I don't know. But that's what we do. So I have to say, I'm intrigued by the fact that I could use my live voice and interact with people and show them pictures. And I could be sitting there as I am right now, which I told you before we started, I'm still in the same sweaty workout clothes
yes.
that I worked out in like 2 hours ago. And I really should have already taken a shower, but I haven't. But it'd be pretty cool to be able to do a live webinar without like all the, you know, pomp and circumstance. I want to find out, and I guess you're going to help me test this, if I can connect with people the same way, if they're just hearing my voice and not seeing my face, like live.
Well, you know, based on my results and the results of a lot of people that I've worked with who've done the same thing, they really don't ever show their face. Maybe for like a few moments in the beginning or the end, they'll say like, hi, hey guys, what's up? You know, here I am. But, you know, and for years, I never showed my face. I would post pictures and because there was never a way to show it. Based on sales results, I guess people were able to still connect. If that's what I'm basing the results on.
Well, I mean, I connect with your voice. I was listening to your podcast before I ever met you in person. And I already felt like I felt and I sent you a message that I knew you and I trusted you and I really, really liked you just from listening to your voice.
Yeah, well, I appreciate that. And I think that the voice is really, you know, you don't really need much more than a voice. You can tell, like when I'm listening to you, I feel like so calm and like taken care of. It's like when I'm listening to you and I listen to your podcast, I feel like you're taking care of us. It's like an automatic credibility because of that comfort. And so I think when people, you know, there's some webinars I listen to of some typical internet marketing guys that I just feel like, man, I do not trust their voice and how they're saying it and what they're delivering. And it's like, I feel very manipulated and I'm just like, ugh. So even if I saw them, I don't think that would help, you know?
True.
Right? Yeah. So
you're totally right. I've done the same thing. Okay. Next question about webinars. Do I need special software? Am I doing this on YouTube? Am I doing this as a Google Hangout? Am I doing a GoToWebinar or WebJam? I've seen all these different places where I've logged in to watch webinars. What's the best in your opinion?
Yeah, I mean, the best is what works best for you, really. But for me, it's GoToWebinar and GoToWebinar.com. They've got, you know, different plans. You can start small or with a bigger plan there. I think like 100 people at a time on a webinar. I think the smallest plan is like, you can try it for free for 30 days, free trial. And then I think it's like $100 a month for like the smallest plan up to like 500 a month for 1,000 people on live. And you can do unlimited.
So, okay, you got to go back for me. So if I want to have 100 people on a webinar, and if 102 logs in, they're going to get kicked off because I only have space for 100.
Yep.
And let's just say I buy that, you know, base level. Do you happen to know, and I know I'm putting you on the spot, but do you happen to know
if it automatically
could you automatically upgrade? And number two is, can I have as many webinars as I want per month?
Yeah, you can have unlimited. Yeah, unlimited. So here's the thing that I like about, you know, there's moments where I'm like, oh, why do they have a cap? And I wish it could be like 10,000, mm-hmm. right? But at the same point, like, if anyone could get on and there's no urgency for people to get on early and right. stay on, then you know, they can kind of just hop on and hop off at any time. And is it that, you know, are they that important? If, you know, I don't know. So I kind of like the idea that, like, there's a cap of 1,000. Even though sometimes I'm like, oh, I really wish I could have 2,000 on live right now because this many people registered. But again, it creates that, like, if you're doing them over and over to your audience, it creates that sense of urgency. It creates that excitement to get on. It creates that commitment and that connection. And if you're not on, you're going to miss out. The live experience is like what makes it fun.
Glad you said that. When we're talking about efficiency, I love systems. I love it when I don't have to just keep doing the same thing over and over and over again. If you have a webinar and let's say it's dynamite, you just close 40%, which is an unheard of rate, and you were like perfectly on, the questions were on point, you know, you were succinct and it was perfection, can I just replay that webinar? And what's the downfall of it, I should say?
Yeah, you can replay it. There's a couple of different ways to go about it, and I've tried a lot of them, and I'm constantly evolving and mixing it up. But what I like to do is like a live encore replay. So kind of like if you missed it,
okay.
Here's the next time. Like I'll put it up for a 5-hour window or a 24-hour window, or it'll be up for just the same amount of time, and here's the time it's going to go up. So there's some different things, because if you train your audience that, you know, don't worry about coming on live because we're going to have a replay every time, then people aren't going to be as excited to come on live. So you want to create some type of reason why they're going to come on live. Either you're going to give away some bonuses at the end for people on live, you're going to give away a special download checklist, a free audio, something to reward people for coming on live, because that's where the magic is created.
This is too good. I know you're on a tight time frame. What would I have to do to persuade you to give me 30 more minutes?
I could talk about this stuff all day.
Okay, this is awesome. Okay, so we have to create a part two of this interview, and I'm just going to say it's for purely selfish reasons because I am so digging this. So let's leave people with a cliffhanger, because I want to solve a problem which I've been dying to solve for my sister, my best friends, my mom, and so many of the people who I coach who are in multi-level marketing organizations, and they're distributors or coaches, and they represent someone else's product. And ultimately, they spend so much time online going back and forth, having interactions with people, building these relationships over the course of sometimes weeks, sometimes months, to try to build up to this place where the person finally trusts them, likes them, and says, okay, I want to join your team. And I'm hoping that you'll be able to help us understand how you could do this. And maybe you can't, but you'll answer that question for us in part two of this amazing interview with Lewis House. So ladies and gentlemen, there's your cliffhanger. Make sure you download immediately part two for the answer. Amazing information. I am learning so much cool stuff about webinars, and I can't wait for you to download episode number two, because there's so many specifics in it. He's going to give us exactly how to promote a webinar, how long they should be, how to use all the other social media platforms and when to use them, and how to structure your actual webinar and how many slides you need, and how to get people excited and to use them to build your list in this next episode. So I'm going to just tell you, please download it now. Too much great information not to do that. And for my show notes, of course, as always, please go to shaleenjohnson.com/podcast. Oh, and please don't forget to subscribe to my other show, The Shaleen Show. It's for everybody. It's life coaching, it's exercise, it's motivation, it's inspiration, it's helping you find balance and organization in your life. And if you haven't already subscribed to that one, please do me the favor of joining me on that show as well. And I keep it PG so your kids can listen too. All right, guys, love ya. See ya on episode number 2.
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.